Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter number 14. We have the baby dedication at the end, so I don't have as long as normal, and I want to get to that. So I'll talk fast this morning. You listen fast, and everything will be good. Matthew 14, verse number 21. We're in our series on what did Jesus say. Words, of course, are important. And there were no more important words ever spoken than those that were spoken by Jesus Christ. And we've been looking at his, and I want to look at what he says this morning connected to this story. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 21. And when they had eaten, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. And straightway, Jesus constrained disciples to get into a ship and go before them unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." They cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And when they were in, and when they that were in the ship came, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Bless our time. Help us to learn what you have for us from the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we pray in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to look briefly this morning at what Jesus says about being afraid, fearing, doubting. They're all the same little thing that happens in our life. When we speak, we're not talking about a fear of natural things. Earlier in the series, we talked about that, how we get into fear and we do not have faith. But this is different. This is a fear that they had as they were doing exactly what God had told them to do. In other words, they were following the specific path of their life that Jesus had told them to follow. And in the context of following that path, something happened and they started to fear. They started to doubt. They were afraid. The disciples, as I read verse 21, which does not seem to go with the story here, the disciples had just been with Jesus when he had seen the miracle of feeding over 5,000. Now, we talk about the feeding of the 5,000, talk about the feeding of the 4,000, but that was just the men. The men were not there alone. They probably had ladies, wives with them, their children, so it was a pretty big group. And Jesus feeds them with just a little bit of food. Now, you think that would be a faith-building event, like, wow, Jesus did that with that? That's incredible. Surely that would strengthen them to the point that they would be able to handle anything, knowing if God is in it, if Jesus is in it, everything's going to be okay. Well, right after this, Jesus puts them into a boat. Told them to go to the other side. They were going to Gennesaret. And so he tells them to pass over on the side. And he says, "Now when you go, I'm going to meet you over there. So go ahead of me." Well, things didn't go as planned. They get in the ship and then they're going to the other side. And there is a huge storm. The disciples were fearful. Now, most of these men were fishermen. Several of them were fishermen by trade. And so they would be used to being on the sea, and they would be used to storms. So when the guys who are used to the sea are afraid, that's the time to be fearful. It must have been a pretty big storm, right? And so these guys were afraid, and they're thinking that things aren't going to go well. Well, they look outside of the ship, and they see someone walking to them on the water. And, of course, because they have such great faith in God, they say, it's a ghost. It's a spirit. They must have really been messed up. Jesus yells out to them and lets them know that he is not a spirit, and he gives them words of comfort. Now, I like Peter. Peter's like, listen, I don't just want comfort here. If that's you and you're walking on the water, man, I want to do that. I want to get some of that. So he says, hey, if you're really, I want to do that. Jesus says, come on. He said, come. He didn't even say, come on. But if he was from the south, he would have said that. But he said, come. So Peter's like, I'm done. He hops out of the boat, and Peter's walking on the water to go to Jesus. You would think that walking on the water, he'd be like, wow. Then he gets his eyes off the Lord. He starts looking around, and he starts to sink. And then he prays, and the Lord bails him out. But Jesus addresses him with a question, the same question, to be honest with you, he could ask all of them, because all in their own way were doubting. But he says, why were you afraid? Why are you doubting? Doubt is always related to fear. We doubt things because we're fearful of what could happen. And by the way, these men were doing the right thing. They weren't out doing their own thing. They were right smack dab in God's will. Jesus told them, get in the boat, go to the other side. I'm going to meet you. And yet fear still came. Isn't that like us? That's a good question for us today. Why are we doubting? Why are we fearing serving the Lord? There's so many things as we serve God in our life that cause us to doubt. Sometimes we get conflicted about what we really know versus what we are experiencing. See, it's one thing to believe something. It's another thing to believe something when everything that's going on around you is contrary to that. Sometimes we get conflicted about what we should do versus what we are seeing. Peter's walking on the water to Christ. He's already conquered that. And then the Bible says he saw the wind. It was boisterous. Now, by the way, you don't see the wind. You feel it. And he knew that he could walk to Christ, but yet he let the outside circumstances mess him up. We're also, sometimes we get conflicted about what we're determined to do versus what we're feeling at the time. These men love God. They all left something lucrative. They all left their old way of life to follow Jesus Christ, which basically meant leaving everything behind and traveling with him. And they were willing to do that. But yet feelings came in. Why shouldn't we be afraid? And I'm talking about just living for God. I'm talking about just doing what the Lord wants us. Why should we not fear? There's several things I see from the story this morning I think would help us. I want you to see, first of all, the reason they should not have feared and the reason we should not have feared is because we had a clear path. See, Jesus had already laid out a clear path for them to follow in verse 22. Straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. See, they didn't choose of their own accord to get into the ship and go to the other side. They weren't doing something, you know, that they decided to do outside of what God had wanted them to do that caused the problem. They were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. It was a very clear path. But wait a minute. If I'm doing what Jesus wants me to do, why is there a storm? He never said the path would be completely clear. Let me say this. When Jesus put them in the ship to go to the other side, he already knew that there was going to be a storm. The storm was just part of the path. But they had a very, very clear path. You know, every Christian has a path from God. Do you know God has a certain path that he wants your life to take? Now, that path has two different aspects to it. The first aspect is the Word of God. The Word of God is very clear. Anything the Bible says we're supposed to do, that's our path. I don't need to pray about it. I don't need to think about it. If it's in the Bible, look, when I was a new Christian, I've told you this many times, and I was an 18-year-old, and I was messed up, and I came into church, and I started I'm going to serve the Lord, you know, I'm going to do the right thing. And I started hearing stuff in the Bible. I started reading it for myself, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. There was stuff in there. There was stuff that was totally foreign to my life. But you know what? As I heard it and I read it, I'm like, obviously that's what God wants me to do. I'm going to do it. Because I know that's his will. That's his path for me. Now, we all have another path we take. This is the specific path for our life, what God wants us to do, you know, who he wants us to marry, those type of things. God leads us in those ways. As we are following the clear path, God will help us on the, I guess you would say, not so clear path. God helps us. But we all have this path we're supposed to follow. There are specifics. Now, I want you to notice two things about this path very, very quickly. The path was constraining. In other words, Jesus constrained them to get in the ship. You know what he said? He said, get in. It wasn't an option. See, if you read the other Gospels, you find out what was going on. He wanted to disperse the crowd and deal with the crowd because the crowd was talking about making him a king by force. And Jesus was like, let me take care of this. And he was going to deal with that. And he did some other things. He spent some time with God. And he put the disciples in the ship and said, now, it wasn't an option. He said, you're getting in the ship and you're going. You're constrained. You have to do this. Isn't that how it should be with us serving God? You know, if I'm saved and I'm a Christian, I'm almost constrained to do what God wants me to do. Why? The Bible tells us that very clearly in 2 Corinthians. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You know, if I'm saved, I am bought with a price, the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I really am constrained by that love of God for me to live my life for him. You say, that sounds like bondage. It's not that kind of constriction. It's a constriction like, what else is there better to do? There is no, look, you know what there was, you say, but the disciples were in a ship and they were in a storm. It wasn't there a better place for them to be? No, because that's where exactly where Jesus wanted them to be. We have a constraining path, but also it was commissioned. He said, you're going to go before me. Now, maybe it's a little picture I'm painting here, but you know, when we live on this earth, we're going before the Lord. In other words, we're going on his behalf. We're commissioned to represent him on this earth. That's what an ambassador is. We get so caught up in what's going on in this earth sometimes, we forget that really we're a representative of heaven. That's why Timothy talks about let's not entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. Now, I understand, you know, I won't worry about anything else. I'm just going to wear a bed sheet and I'm going to read my Bible and serve Jesus. No, go get a job, pay your bills, and do what you're supposed to do. And when you drive your car, don't go through red lights and don't speed, or else you get a ticket, like I recently did. That just happens. Okay. Do what you're supposed to do. But we're commissioned by him to represent him in everything that we do. See, he's laid out a very clear path for us. What happens when we don't follow that path? Well, we have a tendency to follow our own path. The Bible tells us how that works out. Proverbs chapter 14, 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Oh, man, I got my own path. This just seems like the right thing to do. But the end thereof are the ways of death. So it's always best to follow his path. And let's not be afraid. So many people, I think, they're afraid to follow the Lord. I remember it's like, you know, I got saved and I was a Christian, but I wasn't serving God. And a couple times I went to church, I'm like, I don't want to be a church boy. I don't want to be like, it's like, it's different. God had to get a hold of my heart. Like, listen, it's not being a church boy or a church girl or what do we call an altar boy or a holy Joe. No, it's just being a Christian. It's just serving God. And I've realized that that's the greatest thing a Christian can do. Because that short time when I was saved and I was doing my own thing, my path wasn't working very good. So they had a path. Also, I want you to notice they had a comforting promise. When everything started to go south, I like what happens. Verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You see, as they're in this boat, And as the storm is raging around him and all the nonsense and the fear is coming up, is this how it's going to end? I mean, I gave up my business. I've done this for a living. Many of them fishermen. And here I am serving God, and to get in a boat and go to the other side, what's the big deal? Is this how my life's going to end? I gave up everything to follow him. And to hear that comforting voice in the middle of that sea, in the midst of the raging storm that says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I bet you it meant something to them. By the way, the greatest times you'll hear God's voice of comfort, whether it's in the Bible or through a fellow Christian, is when you're going through those tough times. It just seems like it means a little bit more. It's easy to read the promises of the Bible and read all the things, and yeah, everything's going great. It's good now, but I'll tell you what, it means a whole lot more when we're starting to feel like we could be afraid, we could doubt, to hear those words of comfort. What did Jesus say to comfort them? He said, be of good cheer. Now, they lost that. I mean, following Jesus was a good thing, and they were excited, and then we're in the midst of the storm. Now there's no more joy. By the way, I find it interesting. That's the first thing Jesus said to them. He didn't say, I'm here. It's all good. Don't worry. The ship's not going down. You know what he said? It was, be of good cheer. He's taking care of the situation. Calm down. Everything's going to be good. Be of good cheer. You know, sometimes the fact that we lose our joy is the fact that we're going to start fearing. That's usually the first thing to go. I think the Christian life is such that if God commands us to have joy, it's because we have joy when we serve him, even during tough times. And so I always say, if you are starting to lose your joy, it's typically a sign from God that something isn't going right. I'm talking about the joy that comes from God, not happiness. You know what happiness is based on? Happiness is based on what's going on around me. So if something good happens, I feel good today. You know, my football team won. By the way, if it's a Rams, it ain't going to happen. But my football team won today. Or, you know, my boss gave me a raise at work, and my wife actually smiled at me today. Okay, that type of thing. Say, man, it's a good day. Well, what happens when you go to work and your boss chews you out? What happens when Sunday rolls around and your team loses again? What happens when you go home and your wife isn't smiling? That, by the way, I'll tell you what you do then. Run. Go the other way. Just kidding. That's happiness. Joy is something that comes from God and is in spite of those circumstances. So Jesus said, listen, be not afraid. He goes, it is I. Be of good cheer. He goes, it is I. Now, why does he say that? He goes, I'm here. I'm here. You're not on your own. Oh, I know you feel like you're on our own. By the way, Jesus was with them even when he wasn't with them. Okay? God's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. And even when Jesus was physically at that time on the other shore, God was with them. He was there. Everything was good. They just didn't recognize it. They allowed the situations of life to crowd out the fact that Jesus Christ was still there. Never judge God's presence by what's going on in your life. If you're serving God, you're following the path, and you're doing what you're supposed to do, and there's some storms of life, don't judge Jesus on those storms. He's still there. He said, be not afraid. By the way, Hebrews tells us, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then I want you to know another reason they shouldn't have feared is because they had a conquering power. What's nice is we don't have to do the things we do on this earth alone. By the way, that'd be straight out scary. To live on this earth and have to face everything you have to face all by yourself, that could be frightening. Well, you know, you Christians, you people that believe in God, God's nothing more than just a big crutch that you need. Yeah, I'll take it. By the way, what's your crutch? Because your problem's coming. And you have nothing to lean on. Yeah, he's a crutch. We don't go through this alone. I like Peter. Peter was not, Peter, here's just one of those guys, he's out there. Peter is one of these guys that's like, you know what? All the other disciples are like, Christ is here, man. We're not going to drown. Peter's like, I'm over that already. I want to do what he does. I don't want everything just to be calm. I want to walk on the water. None of the other guys did. They're like, Peter's nuts. Peter's like, I want some of that. Can I do that? Yes. Come. And out of the side of the boat he went. By the way, the storm was still raging. It was still going on. Jesus didn't say, hang tight, Pete, let me calm things down and it'll be like an ice skating rink. No, it was still going on. He's like, okay, come on. Peter just jumps over and goes for it. Peter didn't just wait till he got over the storm. He got over the storm during the storm. Now, he had some issues. Like us, sometimes we do okay, and we're hanging in there, and then we start looking around. As long as he looked at Christ, it was all good. But man, once he got his eyes off Christ, everything got bad. By the way, he's looking at things that aren't really, the Bible says he saw the wind. You don't see the wind. You feel the results. He's getting his eyes off something he couldn't really see. He just felt the pressure. By the way, you need to learn how to, feeling the pressure is not a bad thing. Because again, you're not feeling it on your own. And he looks off to the side. Now he starts to sink. But where's this conquering power? There's two things mentioned very specifically in this portion here. First of all, we see the power of Scripture. Now stay with me. Peter sees Christ. He says, I want to do that too. He said, Lord, if that's you, now, I don't think he was asking that because he wasn't sure it was Jesus. He says, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come on the water. And Jesus said one word. What did he say? Come. Peter said, that's all I need. I'm done. I'm out. You see him scrambling over the edge? Just say the word. Come. He got enough power out of one word to walk on water. One word. He didn't need an instruction manual. It was pretty basic. Come. He said, okay, I know how to do that. First, I got to get out of the boat and hop onto the water. Then I got to head that direction because that's where Jesus is. Got it. Let's go. Do you know we have a whole Bible full of Scripture? Some of you struggle because you don't have a relationship with God's Word. Well, I need the power of God to help me. Okay, it's right there. You got to get in it. You say, well, you know, it's there. We don't avail ourselves of it. By the way, all the disciples were in the boat. How come no one else said, can I go? They were probably thinking, this boy's going to sink. And actually, they were right. He did. But he took Jesus up on his word. How can you have a whole church full of people? You have some people over here, God's doing dynamic things in their life. And you have other people over here, and they're struggling. And a lot of times, we're facing the same kind of situations. What's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. Someone's connected to the power source. You got to have the power. We cannot do this alone. That's why God gave us the power. The power is in his word. Now, let me say this. It's not a mystical power. You know, sometimes we think of that. You know, we think of the Bible as if it's a good luck charm. I got the Bible right here. That's nice. Okay? He doesn't want us to keep the Bible in the pages of Scripture. He wants it in our heart. See, Peter got the power because he did one small thing. What was it? He obeyed. Jesus said, come. He said, that's good enough for me. Off he went. How many people, I'm just being human here. I wonder if the other guys, when he first started working, they're on the edge like, man, I want to do that. Maybe I should, because it could. All they had to do was ask. The power. He also had one more source of power, and that is prayer. Now, Jesus, in essence, prayed twice. The first prayer is when he said, Lord, if that's you, can I walk on the water? I want to come to the water. That was his first. He asked. You know what prayer is? Prayer is asking. He said, Lord, I want to do this. He said, come on. Then the second prayer is when he started to sink. Lord, save me. By the way, there was no, Lord, I thank thee for thy dinner, blah, blah, blah. Save me. He just went straight to save me. Amen. Sometimes you don't have to be fancy in prayer. Just get to it, all right? Something bad's happening. You don't need to sit there and just get to the point. But he got the power he needed. Most Christians struggle because they bypass those two things. We never get in the Bible. We never spend time speaking to the Lord, and we wonder why we struggle. But I come to church every service. I think that's a good idea, and I think you ought to do it. But you need more than that. So they had a power. And then they received a calming peace. After Jesus grabs Peter, he's sinking. They get on the boat, and everything's calmed down. You know, storms don't last forever. Now, when we're going through something, it seems like it is going to last forever, doesn't it? It's like, man, is this ever going to get over? You know, sometimes we feel like Job. Hey, Job, the people came in, they stole everything you had. And while he's speaking, here comes someone else. Hey, there was a whirlwind, it took out all the thing, and all your servants are dead, and I'm the only one who escaped. Before this guy could get done, here came the third guy. Oh, all your children, it's just like, can things get worse? There came also another. They came, and then he's sitting there, and here come his friends, and they're going to make him feel good. And they sit there for 7 days, and they don't say a word, and they're just trying to be there for their brother. And everything was good for 7 days, and then they open their mouth. You're a hypocrite. You're this. You're getting what you deserve. That wasn't very helpful. But you know what? It came to pass. Yeah, there were some things he had to deal with. There was some loss, but he got through it. We can get through it too. There's a calming peace. What am I saying today? Just stay on the path. I sometimes wonder what's going to, and then, why are we afraid to live for God? By the way, some of the good things that happen in life happen because we're on the path and we go through a tough time. Sometimes that's what it takes for God to rattle our cage to get us and for him to do something. I heard a story in 1832 in the United States, in the early days of our country, there was a bit of a financial collapse in certain aspects of our economy. There was one wealthy family, they were the Warner family, and they had wealth and they lost everything. This Warner, he had two daughters who had basically, they weren't married, they were living in his house, they had been taken care of. Their dad was very wealthy, they were socialites, I mean, everything was taken care of. They were a Christian family. But when they lost everything, these girls realized they needed to be a part of helping to help the family survive. They didn't have a lot of talents, but these girls could write, so they decided, you know what, let's use our writing skills and let's see if we can get published and make some money that way. So they started writing books, and they sent it to publishers. They were rejected a few times, and finally, a publisher accepted one of their manuscripts and printed a book. And they printed another one. And they printed another one. They became pretty well known. In one of their books, they wrote a poem in one of their books. It wasn't a poem book. It was part of the story, I believe. And they wrote this poem. A Christian individual reading the book, read the poem, liked it so much, they decided that they wanted to put some music to this poem and make it into a song. The first line of the song is this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Where did that all come from? It came from a couple of young Christian ladies that were on the path, and it was a huge problem. And along that path, as they followed that way, God led them to do other things in their life that he wanted them to do. See, don't fear the path. I got my own path. Man, I've always wanted to do this. Is that always what God wanted you to do? Well, I just feel like this is the thing to do in my life. Is that what the Bible says you're supposed to do? There's fear sometimes in following the path. Yeah, you may do your own thing, but you're going to miss out on all the things that God has for you. Let's not be afraid to serve the Lord. Amen. Let's all pray this morning. Let's bow our head and close our eyes.